The Christmas frenzy has begun. No matter how much I try, and maybe you are at a different place, but no matter how hard I try each year, it seems like there's no escaping the Christmas frenzy that begins way too early. I'm beginning to say now that I almost feel violated with all the in-your-face glitz and glamour. So even if you want to keep yourself safe from all, I mean, you just can't, right? In fact, my first Christmas party is on the 12th of December. It was supposed to be on the 5th. Can you imagine that? You went to one last night? God have mercy on you and me. And so, and after the 12th of December, it just goes ridiculously downhill. It's like there's no time to take a break and pause and rest. The social and commercial dimensions of the season are so blatant. It's blatant. There's simply no escaping it. And so I have given up trying to make Advent a quiet time, because it seems like it's not possible. All I can do is to make sure that I do not lose out on the meaning of the season. That's all I can do at the moment. So my homily today focuses on five things that can make our Advent meaningful. And you might wonder, well, really, five practical implications? Yes, and just so that you might remember, I have actually printed this out for you, the 5 points, and you can take it home with you. It's also on the internet, and so you can get it, but just a help for Advent. So this homily is not going to be very long, just because I have 5 points, but I just want to focus on what is it that God is expecting from us this Advent season. But let me give you a very brief background of why these 5 points. You know the early history of the people of Israel. They came from Egypt, they settled down in the Promised Land. And then, of course, there were three kings, right? There was Saul, who was the first king, and there was David, and Solomon. Right after Solomon's reign, the kingdom of Israel is divided into two, and it's a very tragic time in the history of the people of God. The northern kingdom is called Israel, and the southern kingdom is called Jerusalem. Sorry, and the southern kingdom is called Judah, and Jerusalem is the capital. The central aspect of Israel's life is the covenant they made with God. Everything revolves around the covenant. In about 722 BC, the Assyrians came and they destroyed the northern kingdom. So the kingdom of Israel is completely destroyed. Israel always struggled with enemies. But in 722, the entire northern kingdom is destroyed. And the people theologically interpreted this destruction to be a consequence of their infidelity to the covenant. Now the people of the southern kingdom, Judah, they were warned by prophets like Isaiah, we have in today's reading, and Jeremiah. You know, learn the lessons from the northern kingdom. Let's be faithful to God so what happened to them will not happen to us. Well, typical of human beings, just like you and I, they never learn the lessons of life or history. And so in 587 BC, the Babylonians came and completely devastated the kingdom of Judah. Jerusalem, the capital, was besieged, and the temple was not only desecrated, but completely destroyed. And every able-bodied person the Babylonians took into exile into Babylon. People who were ill, people who were disabled, people who were elderly and could not, they left them back in Jerusalem, and everyone else was. How long do you think the exile lasted? 70 years. More than a generation. So as they are in this exile, and this is very significant to understand our first reading, when people are in this exile, they begin to reflect on life. And what is it they long for? They long for freedom. They long to go back to their homeland. And they are yearning. They are pining. They are longing for someone to come and rescue them. For 70 years, there's nothing. After 70 years, there is hope. They hear that God is coming to rescue them. And rescue came in the form of a Persian king, Cyrus, who set them free. But that's for Christmas. The reason I talk about this yearning and the pining and the longing is that is the spirit of Advent. And now you know why I feel so violated when you begin to hear Christmas songs after Thanksgiving. Or you think, you see the first Christmas tree at the end of August. Because the problem is, we're not respecting the season. Even if we want, we cannot. And every season has its place and its meaning. And Advent is a time for us to yearn, to pine, to long for a God who comes to save us. Now, our context is different from the people of Israel. For us, redemption has already happened. The Redeemer has already come. Christ is here. But we know that we are not in our eternal home yet. Christ has come, but our journey is not over yet. And so we wait. We wait for Christ to come again, either in our personal death or at the second coming. And every Advent, we connect with the people of Israel who teach us during the season of Advent what it means to eagerly anticipate the coming of Christ again. So, five ways to make our Advent meaningful, and I'm taking this directly from today's first reading. The prophet Isaiah begins with a question. As people sit in exile, here's a question. He asks God, "Why do you let us wander, O Lord, from your ways and harden our hearts so that we fear you not?" So in their exile, the people of God begin to ask some existential questions. Who are we? Where are we heading? How can we find ourselves in the situation? Who are we as God's people? And I think during Advent, these are the same questions that we must pose ourselves. And I'm suggesting, may all the glitz and glamour not take us away from our existential questions. Really, ask yourself, who am I? What direction is my life taking right now? As a parish community, who are we as God's people? These are very important questions. So the first thing is, let us assess our present state. That's what the people did. Secondly, let's cultivate a deep desire for God. Hear the words of Isaiah in today's first reading. He says to God, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Oh God, this people, they are so desperate. We wish you would just break through the heavens and just come down and save us." So there was a deep pining for God. They longed to worship God freely, who had set them free once. Advent for us is a time to develop a deep, deep desire for God. Through scripture, through reflection, through prayer, we are invited to cultivate a pining for God. And so let us not let this Advent pass without cultivating this yearning, this longing, this desire for God. Thirdly, let us acknowledge our sins. Folks, the most important and purposeful realization the people of Judah had during the exile was an awareness of their sins. See what Isaiah says. He says, "We are sinful. All of us have become like unclean people. All our good deeds are like polluted rags." The people of Israel realized that their misfortune was because of their infidelity to the covenant. And they acknowledged their sins. "Dear God, we have sinned." With acknowledgement of sin came confession. With confession became forgiveness and ultimately redemption. So Advent invites us to an examination of conscience. You know, normally we associate an examination of conscience with Lent. In fact, Advent, because of all the stuff that we see outside, there's a little bit of playfulness to Lent. Sorry, to Advent. We don't take it very seriously. The reconciliation service is more crowded at Lent than Advent. But the call to acknowledge our sins is a very Lenten thing to do. Sorry, it's a very Advent thing to do. And so we must acknowledge our sins, examine our conscience, and honestly ask this question: where in our lives do we need the Lord's redemption? Right now. Where is it in my life that I could truly use God's saving power? Fourthly, let us seek reconciliation. So as I said earlier, Israel's acknowledgement of sin was followed by confession, forgiveness, reconciliation, and ultimately redemption. Now, from the Catholic perspective, reconciliation has two dimensions. One is the sacramental forgiveness of sins. Surely, we must reconcile ourselves to God. But then there is a second dimension: reconciling with one another. Both of those things are important. Jesus came to reconcile us to God and to one another. So today, resolve that this Advent, you will make it to the sacrament of reconciliation. And secondly, maybe there are people that we are estranged from. Maybe there are people that we need to reconcile with. Who are they? Name them and see if we cannot find a way to reconcile with God and with one another. And finally, allow Christ to form us into his own image and likeness. In the gospel reading, we are warned against complacency. Right? Jesus says, "Watch therefore, you do not know when the Lord of the house is coming." In other words, we can't take anything for granted. Folks, today I buried, we had funeral for the coach from Carroll High School. Who thought that his Thanksgiving meal and Thanksgiving dinner would end up in an accident that took his life? Young man. What's the certainty of our lives? Nothing. Complacency is something God warns us against. The best way to be watchful is to always allow Christ, his life, and teachings to form our own. And the reason I say that is, see what Isaiah says in the first reading: "O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of our hands. Of your hands." Clay and the potter. Clay and the potter. Can we be formed by God into the image of his son Jesus, like a potter forms the clay? Folks, Christmas does not happen outside of us. Christmas is not something that happens out there. Christmas is something that happens to us, inside us. How? When we form ourselves into the image of Christ. The more Christ-like we become, that's Christmas, isn't it? Christmas is to become, to form ourselves into the image of Christ. That is the true birth of Christ in our hearts. May God form us like a potter forms the clay. And may we allow God to do that. Then truly, there will be Christmas. So really speaking, this Advent is very short. We don't even have actually 4 weeks. One Sunday you come to church, and that evening you're coming for the Christmas Eve Mass. So we have very little time. Let's use the scripture that we have, Isaiah 63 and 64, and truly make this Advent, against all odds, let's make this Advent a time for us to form ourselves into the image of Christ, and thus not just celebrate Christmas, but be Christmas. This Eucharist certainly helps us. Christ is here, coming to us in his body and blood. Let us pray that as we receive Christ, that we may allow him to transform us into his own image. People of God said,